fires me up more to see how God is dealing with you all in your life. And so, sister, don't apologize for sharing what God is doing in your life. And it's encouraging and it's strength. And I want you to understand what that song means, folks. This is a little bit extra for you this morning, but understand what Romans tells us. Romans 5:8, that yet while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love and he died for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Understand that we have been forgiven. Why in the world would God send his son, his only son, Jesus? Why would Jesus step off the throne down into this world to die on the cross for you and for me? Why would he do that? When you think about it, it boggles the mind, except for the fact that he had incredible love for us. Understand that. That he loves us and he cares for us. And so we should stand in awe of the love that God bestows upon us. And we should live each and every day glorifying his name, being joyful in the name of the Lord because of what he has done for us. We must daily remind ourselves, simply going through the Roman road in Romans 3:23, it says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It means you can't do it on your own. God knew that. God knew that sin separated us from him, and he had to do something to pay the price for that sin. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross to demonstrate his love for you and for me. And 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So he has paid the price for our sin. He has demonstrated it through Jesus' blood on the cross, and he has paid it in full. The wages of sin is death, but God paid the price for you and for me. And so we should be joyful. We should be giving our lives to him because we can't ever pay him back. We have no gift that we can give him that is worthy of what he has done for us on the cross. And so we come here this morning and we must humble ourselves and give God the praise and the glory for what he has done and live joyfully together, sharing in our struggles, sharing in the things that we're dealing with. Sister, I appreciate your words this morning. One of these days I'm just going to turn the mic over and let you do it. I love it. Folks, I hope that God is dealing with you throughout the week. I hope that you wrestle with God. I hope that you're asking him questions. And I hope that you're digging into the Word and trying to figure out what way you should walk and how you should go in this life. What his will is for your life. I pray that you're doing that. I pray that you have struggles. I pray that you shed tears on your Bible. I pray that in your prayer time, God just moves you and begins to change who you are, because he talks time and time again about a transformation that happens in us. And that transformation can only happen if we're plugged into the Word and we have Jesus in our life and the Holy Spirit is convicting us and showing us what we need to change. It's the only way that transformation can begin to happen. The power of Christ and his life, him in us and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and beginning to change us. And then doing the work. Spending time with him in the Word. Spending time with him on our knees in prayer. Telling others about what God is doing in our lives and how he is changing us. How he is doing a good work in us. Not boasting on your behalf, but simply saying, you know what? I was a sinner and God changed my life. And he's continuing to change my life, giving God all the glory for all of that. Well, that's just a mini sermon, and I appreciate your words this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Philippians. We've been going through Philippians the last couple weeks, and this morning I want to talk about a guy who is sold out. He is dedicated to the cause of Christ, and that is Timothy. And so I want to recap a little bit last before we jump into this. In Philippians chapter 2, 1-2 says this. It just kind of summarizes what last week's sermon was about. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, reminding them that it's about keeping the main thing, That we are here because Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and we are here to reach others for Jesus. That is the main vein. And we're to help others come to know that. And we're to have joy in helping others come to know that. And we must keep the main thing, and that is living for Jesus each and every day, teaching others to obey His commandments and follow His word. That is our job. That is what we are here on this earth to do. And so that's just a summary of what last week's sermon, Philippians chapter 2, was on. It's be like Christ. Be like Christ. No, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But it's important that each and every day that we strive to be more like Him. As I said on Wednesday night as we were going through the book of Ephesians, that we keep our eye on the prize, that we continually focused on Christ. And even though we're trying, we're going to make mistakes, but we keep going. We don't give up. We don't give in. We continue to let the Spirit do His work in our life. And so today I want to talk about Timothy. I want to read you in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 19 and following to 24. It says this: "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, telling them about Timothy, telling them about how dedicated Timothy has been to him. And that's what we're going to camp out this morning. I want to camp out a little bit. We're going to talk about the letters that Paul writes to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And I'm going to talk to you about this morning the dedication that Timothy had. The dedication to even do something just to make sure that he was going to be able to give the gospel and not be hindered by it. Okay? The dedication that Timothy has for the cause. He wants to do everything in his power to make sure that the gospel is advanced. And when Paul writes to the church of Philippi, you see that kind of dedication. And what Paul writes, he says there, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." Paul was certain that Timothy was going to do the job. He was going to get the task done. And so this morning, as we look at the life of Timothy, I want you to compare yourself to Timothy. I want you to ask yourself, am I like Timothy at all? Do I see the same characteristics in Timothy? How should I be living my life? And how do I stack up against people that we read about in the Bible, Paul and Timothy, and being faithful and doing the right thing and following the Lord? In Acts, we meet Timothy for the first time in Acts chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen to what I say or write it down and look it up later. But Acts chapter 16, you all should be familiar with Acts. And it says this in verses 1 through 5. It goes on and says this: "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well known by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now when they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. And so the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing in number daily." I want you to understand what just happened here, okay? Understand that circumcision in those days was the thing that set the people of God aside from the Gentiles, from the Gentiles, okay? And so Timothy, now Christ has died on the cross, where there's no need for the circumcision anymore. But and Timothy understands that, and Paul understands that. But in the area in which Timothy and Paul are going to be ministering, in the area that they're going to be taking the news from the head church of Jerusalem, it's full of these really staunch what we call Judaizers, Jews that are going to cause some real issues, because Timothy is what you would call a half-breed. He's Jew and Greek. And so knowing these men, knowing him in this area, knowing that he was Greek, Paul thought it would be a good idea that he would be circumcised. That way they didn't have any hang-up. Understand that it wasn't necessary, except for the fact that it was going to give him some credibility with these Jews. That they were going to be able to advance the gospel because he was going to make this choice. I want you to get that. Man, I want to see your hands raised. How many of you would be willing, and you don't have to raise your hands, but understand what is going on here. Timothy is a grown man. And in order to further the gospel, in order to go with Paul and to share the gospel and share the decrees that the church in Jerusalem has shared with them, he has to get circumcised. And I'm not going to go into detail. If you don't know what it means, look it up later. But it requires a lot, okay? And so Timothy, I want you to get this, Timothy was willing, understanding that he didn't have anything to do with his salvation. It didn't have anything to do with him following Christ, except for the fact that it was going to give him credibility with these Jews. He was going to get the opportunity to go with Paul to learn and to share the gospel with these Jews. And he did it. That's dedication. That's the willingness to go above and beyond so that the gospel can be advanced. Timothy took himself out of the picture and he said, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. And when we read about Timothy, and you're going to see here in a moment when we go into 1 and 2 Timothy, the dedication that Timothy had that he wanted from a young boy when he learned from his grandmother, that he was a dedicated man to the Lord and he wanted to do whatever he had to do to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he would go on to be like a son to Paul. Paul would disciple him and teach him and train him, and Timothy would become a phenomenal young man. But I want you to get here in Acts chapter 1 to 5 what Timothy does in order to hang, in order to be a part of what God was doing. Didn't have to, but it was a choice. He was dedicated to the cause. In Acts chapter 16, 1 through 5, Tim was willing to go the distance. He was willing to sacrifice his life and time, and he was doing it all for the furtherance of the gospel. But see, Timothy still had his struggles. Timothy was a strong young man, but he still had his struggles. When we listen to what Paul writes and how he writes to Paul, Timothy struggled with a few different things. Timothy struggled with his timid and reserved nature. Okay? He was a bit timid, a bit reserved, and Paul begins to work that out of him through the Spirit. Okay? With Paul's help and through the guides of the Spirit, Paul writes to him and encourages him. And I encourage you all to read 1 and 2 Timothy and see how Paul encourages Timothy to grow and encourages him not to let things bother him and keep him down. The other thing Timothy struggled with was he allowed others to look down on him because he was young. God had obviously laid a calling on Timothy's life, and he was willing to go and do that. But Timothy let these Jews push him down and push him around because of his young age. And Paul reminds him, he says, Timothy, don't let them look down on you because of your youth, because you have been called. You have been led by the Spirit. And so don't let them look down on you for your youth. And then also, some of Timothy's struggles was he made some mistakes along the way in ministry into the gospel. He was a young man. And as Timothy goes out and he begins to minister, you see later on, as we're going to get to in 1 and 2 Timothy, that he makes some mistakes. And Paul writes to him, he says, listen, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're going to continue on. It happens. It's okay. Don't let these things define who you are. Because understand that you have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are to continue to carry out the mission which God laid in your heart many years ago with your grandmother Lois. Understand that you have a higher calling. Understand that it is the will of God that you continue. Don't give in to these struggles. Don't give in to these bad characteristics that you have in your life. Continue on and follow the Lord. Paul encourages him in 1 and 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there. We're going to camp out there this morning a little bit. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, I want to start off in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 12, 6 through 16. It says this. 4:6 through 16 says, in pointing out all these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for an old woman. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only a little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on you for your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love, faith, and purity. Show yourselves an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teachings. Preserve in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Paul writes encouraging letters. These letters are 1st and 2nd Timothy. They're written to Timothy later on in his life, writing to him to encourage him these different things that Paul mentions in these passages, to continue on, that you have been called. Remember that you are to not be looked down on because of your youthfulness, that you remember that you've been called, that you remember that you have a plan and a purpose in your life, and you must continue on. But he also reminds him that, listen, you got to do the work. You've got to do the work. Physical strength is one thing, but eventually we're going to lose all that. But godliness, that's good for this life and the next. That we should be doing our spiritual training as we read the Scriptures, as we pray, as we draw closer to Christ. That we should be building up our spiritual muscle and be prepared. And he warns him. He says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Preserve in all these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and for those who hear you. Paul reminds him, listen, you have been called to a great calling, but remember that you are in charge of others here in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so make sure that you are studied up, that you're prayed up, and that you are ready to go. Make sure. 2 Timothy 1:1-7 says this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes it and he says, listen, good ministers are disciplined. So make sure that you're disciplining yourself. Make sure that you are preparing yourself for what is to come. 2 Timothy 1:1-7 says this, and this is Paul's sincere concern for Timothy. He says this, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted. Hang on a second, I read the wrong passage. I'm in Titus. I knew that didn't sound right. 2 Timothy 1. Sorry about that, folks. It all starts with the T and goes together. 2 Timothy 1:1-7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but the power of love, power and love and discipline. Man, doesn't that sound like a soldier riding back home to family? Timothy, I long to see you, my brother. And when I think about you and I think about the tears in your eyes, I think about the faith that dwells within you. I mean, that is just, I read that, I can just feel the encouragement to Timothy. I want you to see the relationship here between Paul and Timothy and how Paul encourages Timothy to do this, to continue on, to remember, go all the way back to your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, when they taught you about the faith, when they trained you up. Remember that. Continue on. Draw on that experience. But just hear the words of Paul. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in prayers, day, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Man, Paul truly cared for Timothy, and he wanted to see him do well. He wanted to see him encouraged. He wanted to see him continue on in the faith. Paul realized that it wasn't about him, but it was about encouraging others and training others so that they could further the gospel. Paul realized that he was just one man, and it is important to train up others. It's important to teach others about this faith that we have, this love that we have for Christ. It's important. And as you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you see how Paul tweaks and kind of gives encouragement to Timothy as he continues on in the ministry. He has sincere concern for him. Then in 2 Timothy 2:15, just a little bit further down the page, Paul writes and talks about him being an approved workman. 2:15, it says this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Paul reminds Timothy that he is a soldier. He is a workman for the Lord. He should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he must continue on. He must continue on teaching others, preaching to others, and not be ashamed of the work that he's doing. No matter what persecution comes, no matter how hard it may get, remember the calling in which you had had it. In chapter 1, he says, remember back in the day when your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Now, remember now that you have been called, that you are a workman for the Lord, that you continue to tell others about Christ. And not be ashamed of what the calling that you've been called to. Do a good work. Be an approved workman. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 7, a little further on down the page, it says this. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul says, listen, remember where you came from, okay? Remember Grandma Lois and your mother Eunice. Remember that we're to be workmen for the Lord, continuing to do the job that God has called us to do until he calls us home. And then I want you to remember that the scripture which God has laid in your heart, which you have read, is good and is inspired. It is profitable for teaching. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Folks, this Bible is our sword. It is our lifeline, and we must read it. We must study it. We must be students of it daily so that we do not mess up and fail, because it is easy in this world to be swept away, that Satan understands how easy it is to use just a little bit of scripture to draw people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did it with the Jews back in the day, and so it's not a surprise to God that Satan is continuing his same works as he draws people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you have to be studied up, you have to be prayed up, and you have to understand that God has called you to a higher calling than just in this life. That we are to live each and every day for him, to teach and to train and to reprove and to help others understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is and what it means to live for him in our lives each and every day, at work, at home, at school, wherever we might be, at the rodeo, wherever we might be, living for the Lord. And I just want you to see, I longed as a young minister, I longed for a Paul in my life. I long for a Paul to reach down into me and to encourage me and to train me. And God has provided some great godly men who have spoken a lot of wisdom into my life. But as a young minister, I always cling to that. I wanted that wisdom. I wanted that encouragement. When I read the love that Paul had for Timothy here, I think back to my youth pastor who poured a great amount in my life, who saw that God had called me into the ministry, and he took the time out of his day, even though he was dealing with all this other church business, to pour into my life, to help me understand scriptures. When I had a question, he listened. When I had a problem, he listened. And he gave me solutions. He didn't just give me the old adage of this too shall pass, Tommy. No, he went to the scriptures. And he showed me where it was in the Bible. And he helped me understand how it all flowed together. And he poured into my life. Folks, I encourage you this morning to be a Paul pouring into a Timothy. And I encourage you also to be a Timothy. To be a Timothy who is sold out. Remember, the dude got circumcised just so that he could preach the gospel. I mean, he was all in. He had skin in the game.
That'll come to you later.
Timothy was all in. Paul was all in. And I just love this relationship that I see between Paul and Timothy. And Paul is a true example of what discipling is. Talk about it all the time, and many of you ask, you know, Pastor Tommy, what does it look like? What does it mean to disciple others? Well, you look in the scriptures, and you look at how Jesus discipled the 12, and then you look at how Paul discipled Timothy, and you look at all these different people in the Bible who discipled others and who trained others and taught them, and that is the example in which we are to follow. You read these letters to Timothy, and you will get, and you will understand the love and dedication you have to someone to disciple them, to teach them, and to train them to follow the Lord. It is what we're called to do. You can't separate conversion and discipleship. You can't separate them. Being a follower of Jesus Christ means that you want others to know about him, and so you're going to teach others about him. And if we're not doing it, we need to check our spiritual pulse and ask the Lord, what am I doing wrong? What has got in my way? My father-in-law always says, and I'm going to butcher this, but basically the thing is that if Satan can't get me, he's going to keep me busy. If Satan can't get me, he's going to keep me busy, which means that we got too much to do. I'm too busy to talk to you today. I'm too busy to spend the time to disciple others. I just can't do it. I've got too much stuff to do. And folks, don't be naive. That is Satan keeping you busy, keeping you away from the main thing, as Paul talked about in chapter 2 of Philippians. Keep the main thing, one purpose. You see that all over the letters to Timothy, and he reminds Timothy to follow the Lord. Prepare yourself each and every day. Paul discipled Timothy to walk through life with him. You see, we talked about earlier about the Roman road and how Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And then we talked about how God in Romans 5:8 demonstrates his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we talked about that what that is and what that happens. And it all starts there with the relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, on the road to Damascus, it started with Paul. And God confronted Paul on that road. And Jesus confronted him there. And he persecuted Paul. He came down and he reprimanded Paul. And forever changed Paul's life. And because of that, Paul is now encouraging others. So in that moment, it was Jesus confronting Saul. Then Saul was converted to Paul. And then from Paul to Timothy. And so the cycles, as we like to talk about. Teaching and training of others. That is how a church grows. That is how the gospel gets spread. You look at the book of Acts. If you weren't here for the entire book of Acts that we went through, you understand that is how these churches began to spread, that somebody did the work, somebody put in the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, to disciple them, to teach them, to train them, to help them understand. That is what we're called to do, and it is all here when you look at this relationship between Paul and Timothy of how we are to witness and to share and to disciple others. And so I just encourage you this morning to look at this relationship and long. First off, for a relationship like that. Secondly, I hope that you want to be more like Timothy. Christ is our example. But we can look to those that have followed him superbly and have encouragement in our lives. Timothy was all in. And I hope that you are too. I hope that in your everyday life, no matter where your life takes you, that you wear Christ on your chest, on your sleeve, and people understand and know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope. I pray that. As we close out this morning, I'll be here in the front, and I just want you to feel the opportunity that you can come and talk to me about whatever it is that you might be dealing with in your life. Maybe you grab another friend and talk with them. But the important thing is that when we enter this time of that you just begin to let God do a work in your life, that God begin to speak to you and show you what you need to change in your life. If you don't know who Christ is, I've given you three passages this morning that tells you that you're not good enough to do it on your own. That by all means, you deserve death. But listen, you don't have to worry about that because God demonstrated in his love that he died. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He gave you a gift. It's free. And all you got to do is accept it. Believe in it. Trust in it. Romans, I always get it. It's either 10:8 or 10:9. I always get the passage wrong. I think it's 10:9. 10:8. It's one of those two. It says that if you believe in your heart, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You believe in your heart, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Now, it's not just head knowledge about what Jesus did. It's a commitment. It's a heart decision. It's a life change. You believe it? Truly. If you believe it here, you're going to confess it here. And you're saved. I believe that wholeheartedly. So I hope this morning that you begin to work through that and what that means in your life. Understand that Jesus is standing at the door. He's knocking. He's just waiting for you to open that door and to follow him. And there are many here this morning that are followers of Jesus Christ who will help you, will love to help you walk through that and understand what that means. But again, I'll be here in the front. As the band comes to play, as I pray, I want you to begin to do work with God. Let him begin to do a work in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now. We just ask that you begin to do a work in our life. Begin to move in this building, Father. Begin to show us, Lord, what it is that we need to fix in our lives, or what we need to begin to look at, Lord, and how we need to begin to change our lives, Lord. And we can't do it on our own. We need your help. And so, Father, I pray that we would be willing this morning to let you move in our lives and let you mold us and transform us into what you want us to be. Lord, I thank you so much for the many blessings you give us. I thank you for this time we've had. I thank you for the scripture that we have, Father, to look upon your word and to see how they did it back in the day, Father, and how we can continue to do it today. Lord, I thank you for this encouragement this morning. I thank you for Sister Lisa's testimony this morning to talk about the things that she's struggling with, Lord, and that she needs your help, and that daily she wrestles with you, Father, and that's good, Lord, that we begin to figure out what it is in our lives that we need to change and things that we need to work on. Lord, that's the Spirit moving in us. Father, I pray that the Spirit would move today. You know, work in the hearts and lives of our people. Lord, that we would be dedicated to you. We love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. I'll be here in the front.